Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So as we tell you, we stream on Twitch and on YouTube. And normally it's just two not very athletic guys. That's what you see. There is an athletic guy to be seen now if you are streaming on Twitch or YouTube. His name is Hunter Pence, and he's nice enough to join us here on Damon and Ratto in studio. Hunter, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing? It's good to have you.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for turning on my mic, too. You know, the best. But everything's good. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. How are you?
We're fantastic. It's really good to have you. Obviously, you got a big weekend coming up, man. The Giants are doing you quite the honor of putting you on the Wall of Fame. It's going to happen on Saturday afternoon. And tell us how this kind of all came together.
Yeah, you know, Larry called me and just kind of told me that, you know, they've decided to honor me in this fashion. And, you know, I was just thrilled and grateful to, you know, obviously just a legendary organization, a wonderful organization to play for. City, I absolutely love. Met my wife here and got married here. You know, won two World Series here. Had some amazing teams and teammates and fans. And it feels like a family to me. And so just really humbled and honored to have the opportunity to be acknowledged in this way. My name's next to some of the greats of all time, and pretty special.
How did they approach you with it? Did they sort of try to ease into it, or did they just blurt it out? By the way, we're putting your name up on the wall.
No, Larry said, hey, you know, I'm very excited to tell you. He's just like, I need to talk to you. So I had no idea what it was about, so I called him. And he just kind of was like, you know, we're thrilled to honor you in this way. And, you know, are you... you know, we're willing to do the ceremony or whatever the case may be. I'm obviously like, yeah, whenever we can make it happen, let's make, you know, I'm just absolutely overjoyed and thrilled. So yeah, that's it. It's just a phone call and Larry kind of letting me know. And, you know, the more I get to learn about it, the even cooler it is to me, the fact that this was Peter McGowan's idea and the fact that they put, you know, the plaques on the wall outside the stadium, and they want people to be able to experience some of their favorite players for free, and you can go take a picture next to whoever, and you know, they write a little story about whatever your tenure was. And so I mean, that means a lot to me, and in and of itself, and the fact that, you know, it's with the Giants organization, how much I love and align with the city of San Francisco and you know, the Giants fan base.
I'm a sucker for a plaque, too. I got to be honest with you. There's never a plaque on anything that I don't kind of want to walk up to and read,
right?
And learn
me
a little
too,
something.
Me too, actually. I love plaques.
If you have a plaque on a rock, I'm reading about that rock.
There's something interesting here. What do I need to know about this rock or this insect? I fall into the plaque trap as well.
I've never been a plaque. Congratulations on your plaque status.
Do we need to make you a plaque? Can we get a plaque for... I feel like you deserve a plaque for your great talking and your wonderful voice.
There's someone my teeth if you want to have a starter.
Yeah, that's about as close as we get to plaque. Four-time All-Star, a two-time World Series champion, 8 years in your 14-year career with the Giants. Beyond the titles, which obviously affect relationships greatly, there was a love, I thought, between you and Giants fans before the titles happened. Like, there was a connection between a very unique city, a very unique fan base, and a very unique player. Not just the style and how you played and how you performed, but how you moved, how you hit, how you did everything. You were like in a group of one. And it felt like that helped Giants fans sort of embrace you before, you know, the real success even followed.
It did feel like a perfect fit, like a perfect puzzle piece fit for more than one reason. And you know, obviously, like you said, one of one, like everything I did was a little bit quirky, a little bit awkward. And honestly, I feel like the city of San Francisco is very hyper creative, very open-minded, very into, you know, a little bit of uniqueness. And that's what a lot of my friends will say. Yeah, you're just unique out there, Hunter. And so I think that I felt very welcomed. I felt that it was celebrated that I was a little bit different, and I felt comfortable in my own skin. And San Francisco helped me kind of be okay with who I am, that I am a little bit different, that I'm into, you know, some nerd culture, and like I love Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering, and I want to ride a scooter and, you know, plant trees and surf, and I'm a little bit of a hippie and kind of thing. But
easier to do that here than back in Texas?
A little bit different, yeah. I feel very welcome and okay to be myself, and I just, like I said, I align a lot with this city, and the fan base was just ultra supportive, and I never lost a game and had fans be like, it's okay, we love you, good effort, you're gonna get them tomorrow. And like that just that different perspective and mentality, and where, you know, fans would sometimes tell me when I was really down, like, hey, we believe in you guys, y'all are gonna be okay, like, thanks for what you're doing. And there's multiple times that fans have really, you know, picked me up, and you don't get that anywhere. And you know, I think that part of that was that we had kind of answered the call many, you know, a couple of the years. And but it really, if I got into the stories of fans and how much fun I've had getting to talk and hear stories, and I remember in 2012, actually, when I did come over, the energy of that team and what they had done in 2010 and, you know, what we had going in 2012, I remember I walked into a restaurant and, you know, people were putting up their cameras, they were like kind of filming it or whatever, and some fan got stood up and just said, let's go Giants, and they all, like, everyone started standing up and clapping, and I was just like, this is did not expect that, never had anything like that happen. But that energy of that 2012 team was something else.
When you were in Houston and then the brief time you were in Philadelphia, did you feel like you couldn't be yourself, or were you yourself and it just didn't play well?
I would say that it was just different. I definitely withheld, and I think everyone, to completely be yourself fully is very hard to do. To be completely free, to be yourself authentically 100% of the time, it's a challenge. And I wouldn't even say that I'm still always that, but in Texas, for sure, I was kind of, you know, in a shell a little bit, and Philly, kind of similar. And I definitely think that it helped heal me and helped me come out of my shell. Just this environment.
Hunter Pence joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Sorry, Red.
So what was the breakout moment in terms of how you felt you could express yourself here? Not the breakout moment as a player, but the breakout moment when you could just sort of take the weight off your shoulders and go, you know what? All I have to be is me.
You know, I think it wasn't like a come to San Francisco and immediately boom, but it was just like eye-opening experience, different mindset, different perspectives. And I have a very open mind and did a lot of learning and soul searching. I think, you know, baseball, when you compete at the highest level, is somewhat of a lesson in self-mastery. Like, you have to learn to master yourself, because you just get beat up, and, you know, the expectation is to win every day, to win the World Series every day, and you're just never going to be able to live up to that, to please everyone. You can only give your best. And so you have to learn to master yourself to get the most out of yourself. If you want to be elite, if you want to do something different, you have to be bold. And I just think that, honestly, I have to give a lot of credit to Lexi as well, my wife, and you know, her being like, hey, you know, you have this other side of yourself that's not just baseball that would be, you know, fans would like. And I think the welcome receptiveness of San Francisco kind of opened all of that up.
Why is your game
changer? Are we going into like,
why is your game changer? No, this is really good. This is, forget baseball. We'll talk about how to hit a baseball any other time. This is real life stuff. People can't relate to major league careers who are listening, but they can relate to, well, you know, my wife gave me a little bit more confidence to be myself and, you know, express myself. And other avenues that, you know, this avenue in this city probably would be shut down. But in this city, that avenue is open to you. So it's a little different. Look, a lot of people come to San Francisco and they say things like, sure is beautiful, love the restaurants, fans are great, I really like it here. And then the minute that they can leave, they're gone. You stayed. Like, you really absolutely love San Francisco. And that makes you unique, because this is a very unique city that doesn't, it's not one size fits all. It's not. It really isn't. So the fact that you get here, you have the ability, you have the financial wherewithal to put down roots wherever you want, pretty much in the world, and you choose to remain here, I think that that means a lot to people.
Yeah, well, I'll always be in San Francisco, and I'm not here full-time, and I'm looking to be here full-time eventually. That's kind of the plan, is to hopefully get, you know, I have a condo here, and I'm able
to... Are you out of the Millennium Tower?
No, I'm still in the Millennium.
Are you leaning? You're leaning a little?
Probably. There was an earthquake yesterday. I felt the thing shake.
Yeah, but yeah.
No, they're working on that, and you know, like, I'm not involved in all of that. It was perfect because there's, you know, good security for Alexis when you're playing, right. But I want to have a yard, so I'm hoping to one day get a house. We have our place in Houston. We have our place here. We have a spot in Newport Beach where I'm learning to surf, and I'm learning to surf here. I got good enough that I can surf in San Francisco, and that means a lot to me, but I think we're most active in the community here, and we're looking to make this a full-time home at some point. But yeah, we will always be a part of San Francisco, and that's kind of the dream and the vision moving forward, is to have more time here.
So fans run up to you all the time and probably share with you their favorite Hunter Pence memory, either the, you know, the broken slow-mo replay of the bat or the catch that you made in Lincecum's no-no, whatever it might be. Forget about every fan's favorite memory of you in San Francisco. What's your favorite memory of you in San Francisco?
By the way, I want to throw this out there before I answer this question, is like, sometimes fans give me some heartfelt messages that literally bring chills, and almost like you're just like moved. Like this one lady on an airplane, I didn't know that she knew who I was, and she kind of gave a smile when she walked by my chair, and then she finally came back. I guess she brought up the courage, and she's like, I just want to tell you that, you know, I was living in China, and I would wake up at 8 a.m, and that's what time it was when your games were going on, and it really made me feel, I was really homesick, and it really made me feel at home, and y'all's teams meant the world to me, and I just wanted to thank you. And you're just like, whoa, you have no idea the impact. So I just, and a lot of times, like, I hate to bother you, and I just want to let everyone know that y'all always, like, it always means the world to me, and I appreciate that, because the massive effort that you put into giving your best and putting, you know, I search the depths of my soul, and I love doing it, and there's plenty of self-interest in doing it, but I also had intention to bring joy and to inspire others and to inspire, you know, to do great things that impacted a collective. So that means the world to me, and I always appreciate it, and it doesn't bother me. But as far as, like, well, you want my favorite memory with the Giants?
Yeah. When you dream of the Giants, what's the dream that you have over and over again?
Well, there's like three of them that are like really, really stand out. And one of them was, you know, obviously we won game 5 in 2012 against the Cardinals with Zito pitching an absolute gem. And I remember being on the flight coming back and us just being like, the Cardinals are so pissed to be flying back right now, because welcome back to San Francisco. It was AT&T Park, now Oracle Park. Welcome to our park, and oh, by the way, good luck with Vogelsong and Kane, and like this flight, we're like fired up. They're pissed off they have to take this flight, they have to play more games, and you're staring down Vogie and Kane, and Vogie pitched an absolute gem. It was October sunset, it was like a purplish sky, just the most beautiful sunset. It was like the seventh inning, I don't know if he had given up one or none, and we had scored a ton, and the fans were like shaking the fence over in right field. They like broke it down, it was like halfway leaning down, they were going so nuts, just chanting Vogie, Vogie, and he was kind of like milking it a little bit, taking his time between pitches, acting like he was taking a deep breath and then letting it rip, and just that. And then when we got the last out running in on that moment, you could just, I was just like, there was so much momentum, and we were just like, we felt unstoppable, like it didn't matter, there was still a game 7, but it felt like it was,
you're going to the World Series,
like we
night.
Were like, come get some Matt Cain, another game and another game,
Scudero game in deciding. The rain,
yeah,
Scudero looking up in the rain.
And then I think the other two would be Michael Morris, you know, obviously the bromance, like, love Michael Morris. We had so many good talks on the back of the plane, just like really, really amazing teammate, an amazing year. And he had had the oblique injury, and he worked his way back onto the roster. Hadn't really had an at-bat. In his first at-bat, Boach has to put him up against Neshek, who's like got a 1-7, just a sidearm righty, absolutely filthy. And Boach just says to him, and like he does, he just has a knack for the perfect timing. He's like, well, Morse, I couldn't put you in a worse situation, but you're the best power bat I got. Go get him. And Morse just absolutely hits a bomb and just loses it. And we had always talked about like being the energy of already have won it. Like, we've already won this. This is why we're the sunflower seeds and the parade thing happened. Like, we're having a parade in the dugout because we're creating a parade. So I was like, be the vibration of it. And Morse just went nuts. Like, we had already won the game. He just tied it. And he was like running around like it was a walk-off homer. And we just went bananas in the dugout. It was so fun. And sure enough, you know, Ishikawa has the moment that in that it was like the next inning or maybe two innings after that where it was just absolute pandemonium. It literally was the first time I'd ever been a part of a moment where it felt like the earth was shaking. It was so loud.
It was something else. I was in the ballpark that night. It was amazing. It really was. Ray, were you feeling a vibration as well?
No, I don't do vibrations. That's reserved for players and fans. I'm up in the press box with the other stodgy old boats. Do you still watch a lot of baseball now? I mean, if you're sitting at home, will you turn a game on? And if not, how often do you?
So I watch a lot of baseball because I'm broadcasting, so I have to be, you know. So
I'm just talking about for leisure.
Like leisure? I put it on in the background and like listen to it, but I don't. Very rarely, unless it's a playoff game or like Giants Dodgers, am I like sitting down and watching like start to finish like you do when you're broadcasting. I'm typically watching highlights. I'll have it on to just, you know, I like to have the broadcasters' voices in the house. I like to have, you know, the game going on. So yeah, I would say I have them on, but I'm not like sitting and watching the whole thing. I'm just like keeping an eye on it while like cooking or cleaning or playing a video game or something. But I would say more than often I'm playing video games or reading a book or spending time with Lexi, and it's just on in the background. And we're just keeping up.
Dave Fleming is white noise.
I love all of their voices. I feel like it just warms the house. It just like awakens it. Like if it's just, yeah, the staleness of not having the game on, it's definitely a privilege to have such great announcers. I think the Giants.
It's part of the soundtrack of summer. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
It really
they're
is.
They're legends. They're amazing. And it is the soundtrack of summer, and having the baseball game on just feels good.
Hunter Pence with us here in studio on 95.7 The Game. What was your aha moment with coffee? What turned coffee from a drink that you drink in the morning to something that you have taken on as a full-fledged lifestyle choice?
Well, so I started drinking coffee when I was like 12 because my dad always had the styrofoam cup when he was driving me to school. And I was always like, well, what is he drinking? And I remember tasting it and it was awful.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, well, my dad's drinking it, so I'm going to keep drinking it. And it tasted like earth, and it made me feel like, you know, I was like, oh, I'm tough. I can drink this earthy drink. And then I started liking it. And he didn't think I was ever going to like it, but he kept giving it to me. So, and then I think Alexis was like, hey, let's like start. I never really paid attention to the taste of it. I just ordered it and was like,
just,
whatever.
Just coffee. Like, yeah, didn't think twice about it.
Just drinking the coffee. And then she was like, let's like start reviewing coffees. You know, we travel a lot. Let's like start testing out what's the best coffee. And then it like opened this whole Pandora's box of a whole new world. And you like can't go back to just whatever coffee.
Right
anymore.
Now, you're once tweeting you've experienced about flavor this, notes.
Yeah, now I'm like a taste. Like I'm tasting everything. I'm like, what do you taste? What are the notes? Yeah, I do that. I love that. I live for that.
Is that a little strap of leather? What is that? What is that?
I hope not. You know, I'm looking more for like a blueberry pancake.
Ooh, solid for breakfast. So,
strawberry syrup.
So
lemon
you,
drop.
So you are to coffee what some of my more irritating friends are to wine. You will find ways to describe a cup of coffee that far exceed what the coffee itself might be.
No, I think that's what the coffee is and the wine, you know. Those notes are in there. You know, you gotta the more you focus on it, the more you taste. But taste is perception, so everyone perceives something differently. But yeah, no, I'm that annoying coffee, wine drinker, taster person.
You mix them together ever?
Never.
Oh, coward.
That sounds not... Have you mixed them together?
Oh, God, no. But you're the expert.
You're right. I'm a coward. I don't really look... You know, but there. I wouldn't be surprised. There are, like... what is it, orange juice and like espresso or something. Like they were doing like that was like a whole thing, and everyone says it actually tastes really good.
Like I can't even get.
Oh, that sounds like an accident.
It's like the sake bomb. You know how you put like the sake in the beer and then you drink it. Well, they were doing that with espresso and orange juice. So it's like orange juice bombs in the morning, or espresso bombs in the morning, sake bombs at night.
Did you ever have the shot, the Wisconsin lunch bucket?
Never had that. No.
It's like you take a little amaretto and you drop it into a beer with orange juice in it, and it's called a Wisconsin lunch bucket.
Is it good?
Yeah, it actually is.
Some of these things surprise you. Pineapple on pizza? I haven't tried it.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's not that bad. I loved the Hunter Pence sign, passive aggressive taunting that you got when you went to, I mean, you would go into some of the most savage stadiums and they would still have the funniest, cleverest signs against you. What is your favorite Hunter Pence does or doesn't sign that you've run across? To me, I still think Hunter Pence brings 13 items into the express lane. I think I saw that in New York. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, there was a couple that really got a good chuckle out of me. And I think, I remember we left New York and it started with a series with the Mets. I was like, all right, that's over with. Like, that was fun. I'm going to Milwaukee and thinking it was done. And sure enough, they had Hunter Pence signs. I was like, all right, I guess we're doing this in Milwaukee again. Like, that was fun. And I responded to it and made some up that I thought were funny as well. And in Milwaukee, they had they have the sausage race or whatever. Yeah. And someone held up Hunter Pence chooses hamburger in the hot dog race. And I thought that was pretty clever. So the ones that like aligned with the city, like Kansas City, they had one. Hunter Pence thinks he's in Kansas. And that was pretty clever. There was a couple of them. Hunter Pence is all about that treble. Because at the time, it's all about that bass was the song of the season. So there's just like a couple, get you a chuckle.
You had a couple of struggling seasons, not for you, but for the team.
I had plenty for myself, Houston, too. I struggled a lot.
But I'm talking about more sort of the team environment where you're kind of out of it on the 1st of September. I mean, sort of the way the Giants are this year. Was it hard for you to go to the ballpark then? Did you need the smell of a race to feel good about being a player, or you felt good about a player every day no matter what?
I think you feel like, I wouldn't say it's hard to go to the ballpark, but you definitely feel like you let down. You know, obviously every season the goal is to win the World Series, so you feel like a failure. You know, like you're going to work and you're just. Now it's all about your numbers, your professionalism. But the Giants were so extraordinarily good at like continuing to push to win no matter what. Even in the season where we got Joey Bart, we had the second to last worst, like the last game, Pablo hit a walk-off homer. And I just remember having Sabian calling us into his office. Like, it's important to keep winning in that push. And so we were never just going out there like, it's okay to lose or we want to get a better draft pick, which some fans will be like, oh, you know, it's okay if they, now that they're out of it, let's just lose more. They always pushed us. And I love that. And it was always fun. Like, we finished strong here. Then we go into next season with that momentum. Like, we're proven, like, we're seeing David VR have these at bats. He's proven what he can do. Brinson, you know, they just beat the Braves today. You know, Logan Webb, these things. How do we build a team that's going to make the playoffs next year? So there was always a lot to be excited for. And when you just love baseball and love challenging yourself and, you know, go spoil someone else's season, that is fun. And so I was always, I definitely was, felt like, you know, I put a lot on my shoulder. Like, it was never enough for me, however good or bad I did. It was always like not enough, like unless you win the World Series. So you're always not enough as a player, in my opinion.
What's next? What do you want to do next, Hunter Pence? You can do anything you want. The world is your oyster. You want to be in studio. You want to be in the booth. You want to be in the stadium calling games. You could do all three, all four, all five. If you want to go and you go to Hollywood, do whatever you want. You'll be a podcaster. Do whatever you want to open up a coffee shop. You could do that. What is the end game here, Hunter?
You know that. The things that I love are the simplest things. You know, I do love broadcasting. I want to, A, be a good husband. I want to make sure that Lexi's happy and have time for her. So surfing, drinking espresso and coffee, you know, being around baseball and sharing some of that knowledge and that passion. Video games is something that I really love. So those are like my easy. If I was to go really deep and really give you my authentic, like, I love, like, meditating and exploring consciousness. I'm reading all sorts of wild books and really enjoying diving deeper into you know, my spiritual journey or whatever you would call it. So that's all really fun for me. So those are things
it feels
matter.
Like your chakras are aligned. I gotta be honest. I can see your third eye just looking at me, man. I absolutely can. I really can. You seem to be very at peace.
I wish that I had. I'm trying to open the third eye, man. I'm telling you. I just love that, you know, just more joy, more good experience, and learning more about life and purpose, and trying to just plant trees, clean up the oceans. I got philanthropic, or
philanthropic. There it is.
Yeah. You know, I want to help clean the oceans. I got to do a cool thing with the Bay Keepers. They're just a good organization, and keep the bay clean, keep the water clean, and just try to leave the earth in a better place before my time is up.
Well, I tell you what, you're certainly going to at least leave a plaque.
Hey.
And that's where it all starts. It's going to be on the wall this Saturday. Ceremony, probably, about an hour and a half before the game starts out there? What's your day going to be like on Saturday? Do you know?
You know what? I'm just going one day at a time. Like, I got this interview, locking in, knocking it out. But I have the, you know, she calls herself the Tom Brady of scheduling. You met her maybe briefly before Mallory.
Yes, Mallory, the Tom Brady of scheduling.
She's just like, go here. I'm your classic just athlete. It's like, I can focus on one thing really good. If you give me another thing, it's too much. Like, one thing at a time. So, I'll be ready for hopefully entertaining everyone and saying thanks to all the fans and all the people that helped me along the way, because I wouldn't have been the player I was. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, and I'm super excited to tell a little bit of the story in the brief little time I get and say thank you.
Well, thanks so much for coming on in here. We're certainly happy to have had your focus for a little while, and good luck with your third eye.
I appreciate that. I'm going to need it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.